So we want to consider this morning the thought of a healthy relationship with Christ. What is required of me? I love the Lord. I believe in Christ. I believe on Him. I trust Him. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. What about my relationship with Him? I mean, on a day-to-day basis, my relationship with Him while I live here in the world. And I want to consider these things from John chapter 11. I know that may seem a rather strange place, but the Gospel according to John chapter 11. Now, it's a very familiar place, but concerning this thought of a healthy relationship, I'm going to use that terminology, a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's consider some of these things from the Gospel according to John, John chapter 11. Very familiar scene. There was a certain man. A certain man was sick, it tells us in verse 1. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We have this little family here, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Many of us are familiar with this little family. Verse 2, it says that it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, this is a great subject, a huge subject, and you can add to these things. First of all, a healthy relationship with Christ. I see in verse 2 that Mary, she's the one that we know about from a previous scene. It was this Mary that knelt down at the feet of Jesus. It was this Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment. It was this Mary that wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. It was this Mary. We see this as a statement of reverence for the Lord. It is absolutely necessary if we are to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ that we have a great reverence for Him. What does it mean to have reverence for the Lord? Literally, it means to stand in awe of Him. Now, the word is used rather loosely in today's culture, the word awesome, but it is a good word. And it doesn't bother me for people to use the word awesome with respect to Christ, with respect to God, with respect to the things that God does. I don't have any problem with that, but we need to not use it in a superficial way. We don't need to use it in a loose way. When we understand that we are to have this reverence for Him, we are to stand in awe of Him. We are to stand and observe and meditate upon Christ and see Him so far above, so much higher than we can imagine, so much higher than our own thoughts. And indeed, His thoughts. And when I say He, when I talk about Christ, and have a relationship with Christ, have a relationship with God, we can use this interchangeably. Okay? We think about God the Father, God the Son. And if you'll allow me to use this thought and these words interchangeably, it applies either way. Whether we're talking about God the Father, whether we're talking about God the Son, we are to stand in awe of the Lord. His ways indeed are higher than ours. His thoughts indeed are higher than ours. And the more we fully realize who Christ is, and how do we do that? Well, we learn more about Him. We learn more about Him in His Word. We learn more about who He was, how He came into this world, what He did while He was here in this world. We read about His goodness, His kindness, His love. We read about the miracles. We meditate on the fact that He was the Son of God and that He was the Word of God, the Word that was with God and the Word that was God, the Word who became flesh, who dwelt among us, who was manifest here in the world. It was by Him that the worlds were framed. And it's by Him that the world continues now, that is upheld, that the worlds consist, that the worlds continue. It's by Him, Christ Jesus our Lord. And the more fully we realize who He is, then the greater reverence we will have. Now I want to make a comment about the thought of reverence. I read this in the book of Psalms, Psalms 111. Psalms 111, verse 9 says this, "He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." Holy and reverend is His name. We are to stand in awe of God. We are to have that kind of reverence for the Lord. In fact, reverend is His name. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that reverend ought not to be anybody else's name. I'm not to have reverence for men that I have for God. Oh, I have respect and I have great admiration for men, for many men. I have great respect and admiration for men and for their position in life and for their knowledge and for their faithfulness and for their learning and for their gifts and all of these things. But I don't stand in awe of those men, you see. That's why reverend is a name that should be reserved only and solely for God, not for man. I am not reverend. You are not to have reverence for me. You're not to stand in awe of me or any other man, regardless of what title they may ask you to use. And we see this demonstrated in the book of Acts. Let's turn there for a moment. Acts chapter 10. Very familiar scene. Very familiar place. Acts chapter 10. We won't take the time to go into all of what has taken place here, but to suffice it to say for now that we see God working in the life of Cornelius, a godly man, a devout man, a one who prayed to God and one whose prayers God heard and answered, a man who gave alms, a man who was serving God, but not serving Him in full knowledge. God was working in the life of this man Cornelius. God was working in the life of Peter. And eventually, after a little while, as you read this 10th chapter of Acts, you'll see that they were brought together. Both of them, in obedience to the visions and to the voice that they heard, the visions that they saw, both in obedience to God, we pick up this scene as Peter is coming into the house of Cornelius in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. You see, Cornelius lacked a great deal of knowledge. Cornelius, the child of God, serving God, worshiping God, a devout man, God hearing his prayers, God answering his prayers, God sending to Cornelius what he needed in the form of the gospel of gospel knowledge. Cornelius, when Peter came in, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. You know, that brings me to another thought. You know, We follow the example that Jesus gave us and told us to follow when Jesus knelt down to wash the disciples' feet. Now, we follow that example every so often, two or three times a year. We follow that example. But it is not in a show of reverence for our brothers, for our sisters. It is a show of humility and servitude, willingness to serve our brother. Here, Cornelius falls down at the feet of Peter, and it specifically says that he worshipped him. Cornelius was in the dark about this matter. He was showing reverence for Peter. But Peter wouldn't stand for that. Peter corrected him, gently, mildly, but firmly corrected him. Verse 26, but Peter took him up and saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And so Peter corrected Cornelius for this act of reverence towards him. Again, we're to have respect. We're to have, it's okay to admire men, but it's not okay to stand in awe or reverence. It's not okay to do that. And here we see another example. Let's look in Matthew chapter 17. We're talking about those things that are required of us. What does it take to have a healthy relationship with Christ? Let's don't forget our subject matter. And the first thing, or one of the things that is absolutely necessary, is that we have this reverence for Him. Just as we see here from John chapter 11, Mary, how she demonstrated on an occasion previously her reverence for the Lord, anointing Him with oil, but bowing down, kneeling down at His feet, wiping His feet with her hair. This act of reverence must have been a beautiful scene. Must have been a beautiful scene indeed. Do we have that kind of reverence for Jesus Christ? Do we stand in awe of Him? Matthew chapter 17, we read about this occasion. It was commonly known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. He took them up into a high mountain. And the Bible says there in verse 2 that He was transfigured before them. He was transfigured. He changed, the appearance completely changed. And He's described here as His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. Oh, this must have been a beautiful scene too. It was indeed a time to stand in awe. And that's what Peter, James, and John did. And of course, they remembered also that appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Well, Peter spoke up, as he often did, and said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." But while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is," listen carefully, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." That's what this great voice that overshadowed them, a voice out of the cloud, with this, as they're looking upon Jesus, with His face shining as the sun, and His raiment white as the light, and they hear this voice, and what was their reaction when the disciples heard it? They fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, Jesus tells them to, He touches them and tells them to arise and be not afraid. I fully realize that there was a sense of fear in the sense of being afraid here. But also, you see that they fell on their face. This was indeed a time to stand in great awe, or to look upon this scene, to look upon Christ in great awe, wonder, and amazement. And yes, on this particular occasion, because of the voice they heard, it raised some fear in them also. Well, let's look at one more example. We're talking about having reverence for Christ. Do we revere Him as we should? We must have this great reverence for Christ in order to have a healthy relationship with Him. We read this in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Another familiar scene. John, he's there on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled there for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, John tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind, he says, he heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now we'll drop down for the sake of time to verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, now listen to what John saw. We're talking about having reverence. We're talking about standing in awe of Jesus Christ. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, okay? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Try to put yourself in the scene. Try to imagine this great wonder. He saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, that's a very vivid description, but it's still difficult for us to imagine and to try to see in our mind this what this great vision, it was more than just a vision. I mean, we have the vision here. This was real. What John saw wasn't just a vision, wasn't just a dream. He saw the Lord. He saw Christ standing there. And this is the best language that he could possibly pin down for us to try to get the picture to the best of our ability. But when John saw him, he says, I fell at his feet as dead. And again, Jesus puts his right hand on him and says, fear not. Fear not, I am the first and the last. But you see this demonstration of reverence for Christ by falling upon our faces, by falling down at his feet, by bowing down at his feet. It is absolutely necessary that we have this kind of reverence for Christ in order to have a healthy relationship. If we don't stand in awe of him, then why should we follow him? Why should we obey him? Why should we take him at his word? Why should we believe that his word is absolute truth if we don't have this kind of reverence for Christ? So we see Mary and Martha and Lazarus here in John chapter 11. We take note of the fact that Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And then verse 3 tells us this. Verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Not only is it true that the more fully we see and fully realize who Christ is, the more we see the brightness of his glory, not only is it true that the more we realize who he is, that the greater reverence we will have for him, the more we see the brightness of his glory, the more than we'll see the riches of his grace. Not only is it true that we, if we have this kind of reverence for him and we're able to see at least a glimpse of his righteousness, of his power, of his glory, of his wisdom, of his authority, of his truth and love and strength, of his majesty and honor and all of these things. Not only is that true, but it's also true that we have to know that it is Christ that we should turn to in a time of crisis. When a crisis arises, who do we turn to? If we are to have a healthy relationship with Christ, we must not only acknowledge by words, but acknowledge with our actions that it is Him to whom we turn. We turn to Christ in our time of need, in our time of crisis. Oh, we should turn to Him when things are going well. We should turn to Him in thanksgiving. But here's a crisis we see in this little family. Lazarus is sick. And no doubt Mary and Martha believed that this was a deathly illness because they sent to Jesus, Jesus, I'm convinced, they believed, was the only one could help. He was the only one. They didn't just send message to him so that he would be informed of the matter. They sent a message to him and saying, Jesus, the one you love, is sick. He's sick. We need to know who to turn to in the time of crisis. Let me read a few psalms for you, a few verses from the book of Psalms. Psalms 40, Psalms chapter 40 and verse 4 says this, Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Do we put our trust in the Lord as we should? Is he the first one we turn to in the time of crisis? The problem that a lot of us have, including me, is I will turn to the Lord, finally, after I've exhausted other possibilities. You see, that's the problem I have. Do we put our trust in him and put our trust in him first? Psalm 56, verse 11 says this, In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David said that because when we put our trust in God, when we truly put our trust in God, we're going to be going places and going to be going in certain directions. Our faith and trust in God will take us places where we would not normally go. It will lead us to do things that we would not normally do. And it will take us to those places and engage us to do things that the world does not understand and that goes against the grain of the world. In fact, it will oftentimes offend those in the world. And so David says, I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm not going to be afraid what man can do unto me. I'm not going to be afraid of men. I'm going to trust God. Because, again, when we trust in the Lord, then we'll find ourselves in places and doing things that we would have never imagined. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And you'll say amen to that, I'm sure. How about a proverb or two before we leave the Old Testament and get back to the book of John? Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Shall be safe. There's safety, there's security, there's assurance, there's comfort in that place where we put our faith, where we put our trust in the Lord and not fear what man can do to us. For us to have a healthy relationship with Christ, we must know that we turn to Him. We turn to Him in our time of crisis. Here's this little family. Lazarus is sick. Mary and Martha evidently believed that this was a deathly sickness. And without getting too far ahead of ourselves, because we know what happens. We know what takes place later in this account, right? We know the end. We know the ending story. Mary and Martha don't know that. As we are reading through this, Mary and Martha don't know what's going to happen. We know because we've read it before. We have the written account of it. But Mary and Martha, all they see is Lazarus and this sickness. And obviously they're gravely concerned. And who do they turn to? They turn to the Lord. For us to have a healthy relationship with Christ, we must have that kind of faith, that kind of trust and confidence in Him that we turn to Him first. Not after exhausting all of our other possibilities, but we turn to Him first. Now, Jesus' reply to this was, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Mary and Martha didn't know that, but the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that this sickness was not unto death. We know, as we'll read in a few minutes, that Lazarus did die. And we want to question Christ, Lord, You said this was not unto death. Well, sometimes the Lord suffers some things to happen. I didn't say caused. But sometimes the Lord suffers some things to happen And we don't realize that he has something better awaiting after the crisis is over.